Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We are so excited to have you with us this Tuesday evening, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's at this time that we'd like to begin our time of Bible study with devotion. We're going to have song, scripture, and prayer. And we're asking that you would join us for a song. For the song, we're going to listen to Open My Heart by Yolanda Adams. And then for scripture, we'll have Dr. Nux read a John passage. And I will close with prayer.
Guide me until I
Our Bible text for tonight is taken from John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 17. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." So that's actually through the 18th verse. "Through to God adds a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God."
Amen. Amen. Well, we come before you tonight, and we're just asking that you would be with us this. At times we come and our hearts are heavy and life is challenging, and we come seeking your face because, Lord, we intend to sit before you and listen to you as we study, as we seek, as we try to find and hear your voice. You know, we truly want to be with you tonight. We want you to lead God and direct us to where you'd like for us to be in this Bible study, as we're studying in John tonight, as we're looking at an understanding of who God is with us. And as we do so, Lord, we're just asking that you would strengthen us, that you would teach us how to seek your face in ways that will be with us when we're not on Bible study, that you would teach us how to walk in your way when it's nobody but us. that will give us the strength to, as we're studying, to show ourselves approved to you, O God, that it becomes a part of our everyday life and walk. But Lord, there's times when we need to not just know your word, but to be able to walk everything that we're hearing and everything that we've studied. And so we're asking that you not only give us this understanding in our head, but that you would plant it in our hearts. We ask that you would bless the Bible study teacher tonight, Dr. Nooks. You would be with him, direct him, lead him, guide him, and all those who choose to participate in tonight's Bible study. We ask this now in your Son, Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
So we are starting the Bible study. This is our second week, in which we are actually going to be talking about God the Son. And Dr. Nix has been started off leading us last week, and we talked a little bit about who God was as the Son. And tonight, he's going to have us talk about God with us. And so as we go forward, we're asking that those of you who are interested in joining the Bible study, that you would feel free to call in and you would participate with us on the Bible study. And the call-in number is 646-478-4932. 646-478-4932. And Dr. Nix, if you would send out the Bible study list to the group again, I would appreciate that. I could not find it. So if you would send that out, that would be very helpful. As we go forward this week, we've got a couple of things this month that we're going to be looking at. As I said, we talked about the first one was Christ in the Old Testament. The theme is God with us, but we talked about Christ in the Old Testament. This week we're going to talk about God with us. Next week we're going to talk about the absolute power of Christ. And then the final week we're going to talk about Jesus as the healer. But tonight Dr. Nix has so much for us, and we're so excited to hear from him again as we study about God the Son. So Dr. Nix, if you are ready, let's go.
Amen.
Let's go.
Can we have a roll call to see who's online with us?
Brett.
Hello, Brett. Okay. We're going to talk about God being with us tonight. I think this is a very interesting concept for our listeners that maybe don't have a concept of God being with us. And just like to start our discussion out before we get into our text, trying to understand what it means for somebody to be with somebody. And the concept of God being with us may be hard for some people to understand, because when you think of God, think of God as being up, far away, looking down. And some people even refer to God as being high and lifted up. But in our text tonight, we've already read that God became flesh and dwelt among men. So I'd just like to get some input from those that are participating in the Bible study tonight about how God can be with us. And then we're going to get into our text, just to try to help maybe our listeners understand this concept better. Dr. Susie and Brett, if you could kind of share your concept of what it means for God to be with us.
Okay. Brett. If you've been on the Bible study for a little while, you'll understand that we know and we believe that God is a spirit. And wherever a spirit is, you have to understand that that spirit can travel. He can be with you and you won't be able to see him. But I'm going to put it a little bit differently. if you have ever created something, you were not inside of the structure that you were creating because it hadn't been made yet. So if you remember back in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That means he is so big, he is outside of the stars and the planets that we can see, travel to, whatever we're sending out there remotely. He's bigger than that. So when you look at the picture of who God is, by him being a spirit and he's able to create everything, he is always going to be with you. Another way to look at it, too, is it tells us in Genesis that God blew the breath of life into Adam. And as a descendant of Adam, which we all are, every time you wake up because God has his breath inside of you. We don't know how long we're going to be here, but he sees all. He knows all. Even when you are behind closed doors, when you think nobody else sees you doing anything, he still sees you. That's how big God is. That's how God is with you. And if you ever feel like something warm or something cool has blown across your skin sometimes when you think about doing something wrong, that's God letting you know you shouldn't be doing that. He has a way of touching us in ways that we don't even understand. But once you tune into God, once you are walking that path, once you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you will start to grow. And as you grow, you will understand how he's talking to you. It's not like in the movies, okay, the Ten Commandments, but he talks to you in different ways and through different people. There you go.
Amen. Okay, thank you. Dr. Susie?
Yeah, I think one of the ways is understanding how God's presence, which is the question, right? You want to know, how do we explain God's presence? To me, there's a scripture that talks about how far can I go from you? And it says that we can't get too deep, too far, we can't go as far. I mean, if we go in the depths of hell, God says, yeah, there I will be with you.
Psalm 139.
Yeah. And so Psalm 139 is a very, very good scripture that kind of, to me, takes a little bit about what that looks like. And if you don't mind, I just wanted to kind of just read a little bit of it. And
yes,
then I think it says, you have searched me, Lord, as you know me. You know when I sit, when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And it says this. This is the key part. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. So there's no place that we can go where God won't be there. God is omnipresent, who's everywhere at the same time. The only thing that can be omnipresent, nothing else is omnipresent, but God is. And so in this context, it lets us know the presence of God. God is with us at all times. Whenever we have the need, all we need to do is call and ask, and God is there. But God is always,
amen,
everywhere. All the time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we have the providential hand of God moving, and that means that God is moving in our society, in our world. And, you know, God's not far off, but God is moving and working amongst us. And our text tonight that talks about the Son of God, which was made into flesh. So we know that God is with us, but we're going to focus on this Son of God being with us. So God became flesh, and God is with us. And what do we call that? We call that Emmanuel, right? God is with us. So we sing about that when we, in many of our songs, Emmanuel, O Emmanuel, and that is God with us. So I want us to read, before we get into John 1 through 17, I just want us to read Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And it's talking about Jesus being with us. So can somebody get that for us? Matthew 28, 18 through 20.
This is Britt. I got it.
Okay.
18 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. 20 says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, is Jesus with us?
Yes.
What does our text say? Okay. So, understanding that Jesus is with us even to the end of the age, and some texts say end of the world, then how should that affect our lives? If we know that Jesus is with us, and we know that God is with us, and of course God, in this sense, is God in the form of the Son, is with us always. So if we know that God is with us always, how should that affect our lives? And this is for the listener, because sometimes it may seem like people that say that they're Christians don't always act like that. They're Christians. And I think it gets many people that are inside and outside of the church confused as to why people that profess to have God with them act like God is not with them. So I'm just asking the question of Dr. Susie and Brett and myself, let's just have a discussion about how we ought to act if we understand that God is with us always. That doesn't mean sometimes, that means always. It's what Jesus said, even to the end of the world.
Amen. Amen.
Dr. Nooks, this is Eric. Hello,
yes,
everyone.
Here.
So, knowing that we should live a very different life than we do live, we should live one without fear and without doubt. We should live one with victory and one with the mindset of being as Christ was and helping and not judging. We should live in a manner that people can see that there is something different about us.
Amen.
We should live a life of truth and honesty and integrity. We should live a life where we can speak the truth and know that it's the truth and not waver. In such a way that we're not downing people, we're not trying to hurt people. We are just being honest in our dialogue. And there is a way to convey the truth in a way of compassion and love. We should have a life that's compassionate. caring. It shouldn't be about us. It should be about what we can do to assist others. And so it's a whole different mindset than what our culture teaches us to live, which is all about ourselves. And so, and I want our listeners to know is that it's not easy. You don't get there overnight. We may not ever, and I say this and believe it wholeheartedly, we don't reach perfection until we meet Jesus. We strive every day. We fall every day, but God's mercies are anew every morning if we confess our sins and ask for the forgiveness and ask God to guide and direct us in the Holy Spirit to direct our lives. And so it is a mindset, and I always go back to this. Once you create an authentic relationship with God, then all those things that you strive for, God will guide and direct your path.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is Dr. Susie. One of the things, Dr. Nuts, I wanted to share, I'd like to read the text again. In the message, it says, Jesus undeterred one right away and gave this charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet far and near in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them, practice that I have commanded you. And he says, this is the key point, I'll be with you as you do this. Day after day,
my Lord,
after day, right up to the end of the age. So no matter what it is we're going through, whether we're having a hard time paying your bill, whether you're having a hard time in your health, whether you're having a hard time with your children, whether you're struggling with drugs, with alcohol and drugs, whatever it is you're encountering, if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, then you can walk in the authority of the relationship that's been established when you confess with your mouth that Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, and that you believe that he rose from the dead. Once you get the power of the Holy Spirit behind you by accepting Christ, then God is with you daily, day after day after day, will empower you. You open your mouth, and as Brother Erica said, go back to the Lord every day. We fall down, but we get back up. And when we fall down, we don't carry yesterday's past to be a albatross behind us to weigh us down. But we use the fact that we go back to the Lord and ask for forgiveness and start anew. We go back to the cross where we get redemption. We get we transform and submit our fears, our sins, our shortcomings, and we start anew, believing in the power of God's resurrection. And if we walk that way, begin to grasp, and I'm talking to myself, if we walk with the power, then, you know, the devil, fear is not of God, so then the enemy will have no power. So, you know, as I walk in my relationship with God, as I talk with God daily, as I do the things by studying my word, then I will get the strength to know that God is with me and act as if God is with me.
Amen. Amen. I was struck by what Dr. Susie, what you and Eric were saying there. You know, Eric outlined really, you know, the kind of life that we should be living if we understand that God is with us. And you really brought home about, you know, about how we should live also, and the fact that God is with us if we are trying to do what God wants us to do in that relationship. Both of you talked about relationship, but it occurs to me that we don't have very many people that are out trying to make disciples. Jesus commanded his disciples to make disciples, right? And then he told them to teach them the things that he had commanded them to do. And what is the main thing he commanded them to do was to love. And then he said, and Dr. Susie really brought this out well in the message, when you do this, I'm going to be with you as you do it. So I think And I'd like to hear some dialogue, but it seems that many of us are afraid, we've been intimidated, and to make disciples means that we need to be in that relationship with God, and we need to be an example to people. I think if we live the life of Christ, I think it's going to shine. I think we become lights, the light that Jesus talked about, the light on the hill, and the salt that had not lost its savor. But we get robbed of that somehow here, and I'd like to just talk about that because our listeners may be wondering what it is we're doing, because it seems like many churches are closing, less people are going to church, it seems like we don't have testimony, it seems like people don't even pray in public. I mean, there's something happening here, and I'd just like to talk about that a bit because if we follow this pattern here that Jesus lays out for us in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we'd be drawing some folks. We'd be teaching some folks. But what's going on?
This is Eric. I think one of the things that's going on, and I can attest to this, I've had jobs where I've, you know, had to be in churches in every denomination. You name it, from Greek Orthodox to Catholic to Episcopalian to Lutheran to Baptist to, I mean, you name it, I've been there. And what I'm finding is that people aren't teaching people how to witness. And what I need our listeners to hear is that witnessing is only telling the story about what God has done for you. Because I can't tell a story about what he's done for Dr. Nooks. I can't tell the story about what he's done for Dr. Susie. I can't tell the story about what he's done for Brett. But I can tell the story about what he's done for me.
Amen.
And it's just me telling my stories about what Christ has done for me and how Christ and God and the Holy Spirit have affected my life. And if they have affected my life and I've got a true relationship, there will be something different about me that you see than the average person that's in the world. And so people are not going to churches because they don't see anything different from people who are in the church and people in the world.
Amen.
There is no difference. I mean, when you got people
Amen.
Walking up in the sanctuary shooting people because they say the deacon was with my wife or the pastor was doing this and you got people charging pastors and deacons with stealing and this and embezzlement and all that stuff. There is no difference. And so people are leery. You know, and all of you have heard me say this. The first thing they say is, well, why do I need to give that hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours a week going to a church building when they're doing the same thing I'm doing and I ain't there? I mean, that's a legitimate question, and so we have got to get back to people teaching that, but we've also got to understand that it's not just the pastor's job, and the pastor shouldn't be telling people, well, no, you do what I say and what I tell you. The pastor should be teaching and preaching about what the book says, what the word says, what the living,
Amen.
Breathing word says. Being inspired by God and delivered by the Holy Spirit. And people need to start doing that and having Bible studies and prayer meetings. I was listening to somebody the other day and they talk about, when's the last time you've been to church and they said, we're just going to have a prayer meeting where people go in there and pray, give testimony and pray. I don't know any churches
that.
Do that anymore. So that's my two cents.
This is Dr. Susie, and can you all hear me? I don't know.
Yes, I hear you fine, Dr. Susie.
You know, I have a little different perspective, it's not very different, but it's some parts of it are same and some parts of it are different. But my perspective is, Dr. Nooks, is I have made disciples everywhere I've gone. This Bible study is a big witness to the fact that I've made disciples. But the biggest challenge that I've had in making disciples are that you know, don't knock me, but I remember I was working at my church at the pension fund. So I had I would always, no matter I did. I mean, one example is I had a national retreat for African Americans, and I invited seminarians to the table. And all of those seminarians are the same ones that when I went from school to school, I would take them out to dinner. I would, you know, encourage them in the word. I would build them up. I would try to put them in a place where they could be visible, where they could be heard, and they could become an integral part of the church and help it remind them to be grounded in the word. So I did this on a regular basis, but what I found is some of the young people, when they got to a position, they didn't want to be considered as me helping them. But, and I find a lot of people do this, they don't want to see themselves as being mentored by somebody, unless it's a man. And I think it's, I see it differently when it's men, just like people will see me, and I've been doing ministry for whatever, but yet they see a man and they're like, oh, Pastor so-and-so, we having a funeral, so-and-so. And they'll look at them, and I think it has a little bit to do with sexism and how we look at discipling. I'm more looked at as a friend, but somebody else is looked more as a mentor, you know, discipler. And I probably did more for them than the other person as far as giving them a break and launching them on their journey and helping them in their ministry. But, you know, we deal with all of that. And frankly, I don't ever bring it up because I don't care what I care about, because the Lord is the one that knows what it is that I do and don't do. What I care about is if those individuals are growing in their faith or moving towards what it is that God wants them to do as far as understanding the word of God and having a stronger relationship. And so that's my question. My statements are, I do those things, but not everybody chooses to see themselves as being discipled. And not only that, but few people will be consistent about training. Everybody wants to be the one doing the training. They're not willing to be faithful, available, and teachable. We want to be the teacher. That's all I got to say.
Amen.
Amen.
But Dr. Susie, and you're right, but I did hear you say the most important part is that it doesn't matter because God knows. I got a friend who, he's got a favorite quote. He says, "Don't worry about the mule being blind. Just load the wagon." Because even though the mule is blind,
all right,
we'll get the load to where it need to get to. You just load it. The mule will get it. So you just load it. And we do know that our society now has this mindset that, you know, they want to be out front. They want to be in charge. They want to be noticed. I got that issue right now with members of my staff about a project that we do every year for the homeless. And we work with a bunch of partners, and everybody always wants to be in charge. And they're like, well, they shouldn't be taking credit. We started this. We did that. I'm like, who cares? Our mission is to provide the service for the homeless. Who cares who gets the credit? Because at the end of the day, when you stand before God, God's going to ask you, did you do what I asked you to do?
All right.
That's all that matters. And so, but if we've got mentors and like yourself and others and pastors and deacons and trustees that are teaching that, I think it'll go back and it'll grab hold because, and I honestly believe this. So this is their audience. This is just me, and I honestly believe this. The detriment to a lot of us is Madison Avenue and commercials and advertising trying to tell us what if we don't have this, we're lacking. If we don't drive this, we're lacking. If we don't do this, we're lacking. If we don't wear this, we're lacking. If you don't, and we have just lost ourselves into identifying that I am so and so if I'm doing so and so, or if I'm with so and so, or if I'm using so and so.
Amen.
And it is killed.
Yeah.
And we don't have people that are bringing us back to being grounded.
Yeah.
I'm hearing both of you say.
Okay.
This is Dr. Susie, Dr. Nurse. I'm saying I don't think people are open to that. I think everybody wants to be the expert. Even when folks are not in a position to be experts and somebody else empowers them, they're so quick to be the one in charge and the one leading. It's a new generation of folks. When I grew up, it didn't matter. When I knew that there was a person who had helped and empowered me, I gave them the respect of thanking them and the posture of knowing that I was the student at some point. And it doesn't hurt me to recognize the person as empowering of me and then to see myself in the teachable position because they've already gone through some of the stuff that I'm going to go through. But what happens is we want to always be, I'm talking about my young folks who have, I got a couple of young ladies who go, you know, Dr. Susie, I thank you so much for the empowering piece. And when they go someplace, I feel proud because I feel I had something to do with feeding into their lives. And so it ain't about me. They don't mention me, but it's because I was obedient to do the things that Dr. Nix was talking about. But if we don't continue doing that because people are rude, people don't want to be trained, people don't want to be in a position of the student, they don't want to be in a position of the learner, they want to be in a position of the authoritarian or the teacher or however they see it. And that's what I'm saying. We no longer want to follow. We want to lead. And you got to, some point in time, be willing to be disciples. Go ahead.
Dr. Susan, Dr. Nooks, I hear you, and I absolutely agree. But that phrase about don't worry about the mule being blind, just load the wagon. Don't worry about what that person's mindset is. You just keep putting into it because God will do the rest. And we get and human nature. And when we see those kind of people, it saps something from us that we said, well, I don't want to do that anymore because what's the use? They don't act like they don't care. They act like they don't this. They act like this. They act like this. That's irrelevant because the word would drive a draw, I heard Dean Cotton say. So it's either going to drive them to you or drive them away from you. If they keep showing up and you keep putting it in them, the Lord will draw it out, or he'll push them away and you won't have anything to worry about it. Because there's a scripture that says if you're invited to a feast or a meal, don't go to the head table because you might have to be asked to come back and then be embarrassed by that. Sit at the foot of the table so that when the master comes in and sees you and says, oh, hey, I got a better place for you. Come on up a little higher. Come on up here. And so what you're saying, Dr. Susie, is absolutely right. But we just got to continue to keep going forward. And I know, because I'm guilty of it too, I just had breakfast with a friend of mine today, and I said, I am so tired of the work that I'm doing because it seems that nobody is listening and nobody appreciates it. And the more I try to do it, seems the more hell I catch. I said, I'll tell the Lord, I am tired. I want to stop. But the Lord hadn't told me I could stop. So I have my little pity party, and then I move on.
Wanted to introduce another concept, and all those are right. And Satan is trying to stop people that are doing the sharing and the teaching, trying to stop them from moving forward by discouraging them. But a lot of our so-called leaders are not teachers. And they want to command and tell people what to do, but they don't want to teach. So you have another obstacle. And Jesus said, go and teach and make disciples. A lot of folks that are in leadership
Amen.
Don't want to make disciples. They want to make slaves. And so they don't want people to grow in Christ, but they want them to do whatever they tell them to do. And so we got people not wanting to be led. We got leaders not wanting to lead and teach. And we got Satan sitting back smiling and saying, this is exactly what I want. Confusion.
Amen.
But Dr.
People
Susie,
not growing.
Dr. Susie, the other issue is the desire. If you're going to be taught, you have to have a passion and desire to want to learn. You can take the horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. And you know, since we're using euphemisms, Brother Eric, but the reality is this, you know, I don't know how many times you got people in the church that I know. We got Bible study. I'll make it available for you at night. I'll make it available for you during the afternoon. I'll make it available for you in the morning. I'll call you. I mean, how many times I got to call and remind you? At some point in time, this has to be a passion that you do, because how are you going to get somebody to the point of them leading? Because we've gone through this Bible study before where we taught people that you start off as a child, as an infant, and you work your way up to where you become the discipler. But you're not going to be able to do that because nobody, the people that you bring in, have to have the desire to want to grow. And the reason why is because people, we got some infants that don't want to grow. We got some babies that are okay with being babies and don't want to go nowhere else. They don't want to put forth the effort to eat, to get off of the milk and get on some meat to chew. They don't want to do that extra work, and they're content with it. And we can't do anything about it if that's where they want to be. That's between them and God. That's their relationship. And frankly, if you look around in our world, it makes sense. You see that we got a bunch of really immature Christians or people who are really not Christians at all. Because at some point in time, if you really have a desire to have that relationship with God, you won't stay at the same place. You won't want to stay at the same place. You will have a hunger and thirst according to the word.
Amen. So those that are listening in, you know,
Amen.
When you see some of these things, these are not necessarily the people that are really being led by God and by the Spirit. But we want you to understand what God would have us to do, and that's what we're trying to explain to you. I'd like for us to read one more text, and I know our time is running away from us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 22. And this talks about the Holy Spirit being inside of us in our bodies. So 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 22. If somebody has that, can you read that for us? If nobody has it, I can read it for obedience's sake.
I can read the message after you.
I'll go ahead and read it in the message first.
Okay. It says, 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 22 says, or to put it another way, you're God's house. Using the gift God gave me as a good architect, I designed blueprints. Apollos is putting up the walls. Let each carpenter who comes on the job take care to build on the foundation. Remember, there's only one foundation, the one already laid, Jesus Christ. Take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there's going to be an inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you'll be found out. The inspection will be thorough and rigorous. You won't get by with the thing. If your work passes inspection, fine. If it doesn't, your part of the building will be torn out and started over, but you won't be torn out. You'll survive, but just barely. You realize, don't you, that you are the temple of God and God himself is present in you? No one will get by with vandalizing God's temple. You can be sure of that. God's temple is sacred, and you remember, and you remember, are the temple. Don't fool yourself. Don't think that you can be wise merely by being up to date with the times. Be God's fool. That's the path to true wisdom. What the world calls smart, God calls stupid. It's written in the scriptures. He exposes the chicanery of the sheep. The master sees through the smokescreen of the know-it-all. And it says, I don't want to hear any of you bragging about yourselves or anyone else. Everything is already yours as a gift. Paul, Apollos, Peter, the world, life, death, the present, the future, all of it is yours, and you are privileged to be in union with Christ, who is in union with God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So what does that text tell us about God with us? And I think this is good for many of our listeners in, because right now I think there's a whole lot going on that people don't understand that their body is the temple of God. We have a lot of addictions going on right now, and people abusing their bodies and don't understand that these bodies are the temple of God. God dwells inside of us, and so we ought to be taking care of our temple. But I like the fact that whatever we build, it's built on the foundation of Christ. And that's important for our listeners to understand, that God is with us, and we do things because we are empowered by the Spirit and led by God to do things. But the things don't save us. And then it says even if we built something that was inferior, that we wouldn't be lost, but our part of the building would crumble, but we wouldn't be lost. So I think that's important also for our listeners to understand that once you're saved, you're saved. You're part of the body of Christ. And you're not lost anymore. But it's important to understand that God is in this body of ours. And we talked about how that ought to make us act, how that ought to make us feel. But I'm inviting input from our participants on the Bible study, Brett, Dr. Susie, Eric, about this text.
You kind of said it.
Okay.
So this is Eric. So, yeah, Dr. Nix, I mean, you said it all, but the for real question is that why is it so difficult for a lot of us in this process to accept that we are God's temple? I mean, that's the part that always eludes me, is that we say we're Christians, we say we want a relationship, we say that, you know, I trust, I believe, I this, I that, but yet we live in such ways that it doesn't appear that we are the temple for God. It doesn't appear that the Holy Spirit indwells within us. It doesn't appear that it just doesn't appear that we're living up to what we claim to be. And I always, in my reading, and especially for those in the old chapter, the Old Testament, I'm sorry, it should be a guide for us to see how the Israelites, who were chosen as God's people, he chose them, and how they reacted. And that really ought to be a lesson to us, is that, you know, we shouldn't do that. God loved them, but they still had to endure famines. They still had to endure being chased out of their own land and being slaves in another country and being exiled to other countries. And yet, when they came to themselves, as God told Solomon, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. And I submit to our listeners that that land is just not the physical land that they lived on, but also their spirits. And we need to be mindful of that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, this is Dr. Susan, and I feel as though that Dr. Nooks asked the question, you know, what is the reason why we struggle? And I think that we struggle because, you asked the question why we struggle. And I think, Eric, I think we struggle because when we accept Christ, you know, it may have been an emotional time. It may have been a time, but we did not count the cost. So can you put your phones on mute? We did not count the cost. And when we didn't count the cost, that meant that we would have to do some work. We would have, you know, many people, I don't think they count any cost. They just show up and say, okay, I accepted Christ. I'm not doing anything else. I go to church on Sunday occasionally or when I want to, and that's it. I'm going to keep living my life day to day just like I was before. And that's not the way that it works. You know, you accept the Lord, but you seek after the Lord. And you seek after God in various ways, which is what we always say on the Bible study. Study your word. You have your devotions. You make your commitment to growing, not to be complacent where we are. And I think that's the missing piece. We don't teach people back to Dr. Nook enough to where when they accept Christ, that they fully understand that there is work. There's a cost. There's something you got to do. Salvation and grace is free. But you got to work to show yourself approved. You got to work to build that relationship. It's like, you know, everybody on this line, I've had to do some work with building a relationship and maintaining the relationship. And it's the same way with God. We have to work. We have to talk to God. All y'all, I'm glad I'm saying this, y'all got to stay in touch with me. You can't just assume by osmosis that everything is okay, that everything is the way it was. You got to nurture that relationship with your friend. And God is the one that we in particular are talking about. You got to talk to God. You got to study God's word so you know who God is and interact so that that relationship can grow. Because it's not going to grow on its own by you just wishing or osmosis. It's not going to happen that way.
So Dr. Susan, this is Eric. So Dr. Susan, let me clarify this. Let me make sure I understand you. So you mean that when I accept Christ, I got to do some work? It ain't what a lot of folks tell me is that, oh, you accept Christ, your life is going to change. I got to do some work. I got to put some work in.
Not only that, it's going to be hard. Because the moment you accepted Christ, the moment the enemy got busy and said, I'm going to deter you from your task. I'm going to do everything I can to get you to give up. Because I had you. Now I ain't got you no more, so I'm going to have to work hard to keep you from being in the flock. So, yeah, it gets hard now. And Dr. Nooks was making a point of talking about how, you know, God is with us. And so because have accepted and the Spirit is indwelling within us, then we have to rely and to call upon that relationship to empower us to do everything that we need to do, to get us everywhere we need to go, to help us fight fear when we need to help us to be able to believe that we're going to be able to pay the bill, that we're going to be able to get off the drugs or the alcohol, that we're going to be able to help, you know, do what we need to do to grow and be who we are, who God wants us to be. So, God
praise the Lord.
This is Brett.
Go ahead, Brett.
See, one of the key problems that people are having nowadays is something that they try to get away from when they were trying to be instructed by their parents on how to live a good life, when they're trying to be instructed in school on how to do things. Nowadays, the young people, they don't want to be taught anything. They know it all. you can't instruct them on how to do it, because they're going to do it their way and by hit and miss. And you just, life is not something that you can fake it until you make it. By the time you think you make it, you're out of here. And that's the whole thing. When people don't want to listen, that's why you don't have people showing up to Bible study. That's why you don't have people that are going to church. They don't want to sit and be lectured to. They think they can sit home and read their Bible, which a lot of people give them Bibles as Christmas presents and stuff, but they don't open it. It's still in the box, still in the wrapper. Some of them
brother,
had a new Bible.
Brother, even if you could read the Bible by yourself, you will only get your understanding. You won't get
right.
You won't have anything complete to bounce off.
Yeah, see, even
and,
with the internet.
And it's not just the young people that don't come to Bible study. It's old people too. It's all people.
Of course.
Well, this is Eric. One of the issues that we got, and Brett, I hear what you're saying, and there's a whole lot of truth in that. But this social media and this internet and this Google, man, there's a whole bunch of people going to bust hell wide open because they believe whatever they see and hear right there. And, man, it is just unbelievable to me.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
But Dr. Nooks, before you end, can I read something out of Proverbs 8? I looked for this last week and I had to get off before I could read it to y'all. And it ties into today, and it also takes us back a little bit to last week.
Okay.
It says, this is what it says. It's starting at 8:12. I live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. That is why I hate pride, arrogance, corruption, and perverted speech. Good advice and success belongs to me. Insight and strength are mine. Because of me, kings reign and rulers make just laws. Rulers lead with my help and nobles make righteous judgments. I love all who love me. Those who search for me will surely find me. Unending riches, honor, wealth, and justice are mine to distribute. My gifts are better than the purest gold. My wages better than sterling silver. I walk in righteousness in the path of justice. Those who love me inherit wealth, for I fill their treasures. The Lord formed me from the beginning before he created everything else. I was appointed in ages past, at the very first before the earth began. I was born before the oceans were created, before the springs bubbled forth their waters, before the mountains and the hills were formed. I was born before he had made the earth and the fields and the first handful of soil. I was there when he established the heavens, when he drew the horizon on the ocean. I was there when he set the clouds above, when he established the deep fountains, foundations of the earth. I was there when he set the limits of the sky so that they would not spread beyond their boundaries. And when he marked off the earth's foundation, I was the architect at his side. I was his constant delight, rejoicing always in his presence, and how happy I was with what he created, his wide world, and all the human family. And so, my children, listen to me, for happy are those who follow my ways. Listen to my counsel and be wise. Don't ignore it. Happy are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gate, waiting for me outside of my home. For whoever finds me finds life and wins approval from the Lord. But those who miss me have injured themselves. All who hate me love death.
Hmm. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, thank you, everybody.
Amen.
And Dr. Susie, will turn it over to you.
You know, thank you, Brother Eric. Everything you said was so important that we hope that the radio listeners tonight would be discerning of that. Brother Eric, are you still online?
I am.
Would you list just four key important things out of what you just said? Just four things that I want the listeners. I mean, it was so deep. Or you can just do two major important things out of that you want to leave with them
as they go through this week to think about, you know, God with us. What is it that you need to understand? So if everybody could give us one thing. So, Eric, would you start, please?
Yeah, so God is with us, and we need to know that it is a journey, and that God is on that journey with us, and that on this journey we need to be as authentic as we possibly can with this relationship. Because God knows whether we're authentic or we're not. He knows when we're playing. He knows when we're just giving lip service. We need to be authentic as we possibly can. And we need to understand that on this journey we are going to fall. We're going to make mistakes. That's when we come to God. The reason, and this is the last one for me, the reason that God could say that David was a man after his own heart, and we know all that David did, was that when David realized that he was wrong, he repented, he sought forgiveness, and he was earnest about that. And we need to be likewise.
Amen. Amen. Brother Brett, do you have one thing you want to share?
It's early in the morning, and I'm trying to
Brother Brett,
that God is always with us no matter where we go, whatever we do. He's going to be with us. He's going to do the things that he needs to do for us to understand that he's with us. That's why sometimes things just don't go your way. Sometimes you have to go through a fire in order to really appreciate what God has been doing for you all along. So that's my takeaway from this, because he's always with you.
Amen. Brother Nix, do you have one thing you want to share with us?
Know that you're not alone. And that God loves you, and that's why God seeks
Amen.
To be with you. It's not that God is not trying to get to you. God is trying to get to you because God loves you.
Amen.
Amen. So for our radio audience, we ask those of you who are listening this evening, if you would just take a moment to reflect. For those of us on the line, if you would just partner with me to reflect. So if there's anything in your life that you need to repent from, repentance means that you turn away from it and turn towards God. You turn away from the sin and you run to God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, God. And when you have thought of the need to turn away from whatever sin that's been in your life, then we ask you to think about this. If you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus died and rose again, that you would be saved and you would accept him as your personal Savior and live with him forever. This is what we're asking you to do tonight, to accept our Lord and Savior, to know in your heart that Jesus is with you. There's no place that you can go where he won't be. That even in the end time when you make your decision and you've accepted him, that there will be an inspection. But God will not leave you. You will not be plucked from his hand. You may fall short, but get back up again and trust God to lead you where you need to be. So tonight we're asking that you would accept and say, Lord, I've fallen short. I've sinned. And I ask that you forgive me from my sin. And I'm confessing right now in the name of Jesus that you are Lord. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again for my sins. And because of my faith in you, I believe that you rose from the dead and I will rise again with you. So those of you who have prayed that prayer with me and believe in your heart, praise God, hallelujah, you're a part of the family of God and you're with us tonight. We just ask everybody as we go forward and we'll come back next week, we'll be looking at the absolute power of Christ. God be with us as we go through this week, and we trust that the Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct us until we meet again. Let us all say amen.
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 Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.